Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is MC from MC Anime Podcast. Today I'm coming to you with another episode. Today's episode is inspired by Native American Heritage Day. And the media that I'm going to examine this culture and the day and the significance of Native Americans is actually the Shaman King. Specifically, they have the members known as the Patch Tribe, which are the representation of Native Americans in this media study episode. Now, since I am doing a case study of not only the inspired episode idea with Native American Heritage Day, but I'm also specifically going to designate the Patch Tribe and the Shaman King in today's episode. So today's episode is called Shaman King and the Patch Tribe's Role. So first, I need to answer the question, what is National Heritage, Native American Heritage Day? So, with that day, it's a civil holiday that takes place after Thanksgiving. So, there's a thing in America called Thanksgiving. You celebrate with food. Original story was they had the pilgrims. The pilgrims made friends with the Native Americans. And supposedly there was a bond formed with people of the West. Well, people of the West coming into America. Forming relations with Native Americans. They have an entire meal to cement the fact that they're now have this special relationship, yada, 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 turkey, and everything else has now ruined the holiday. But it's a remembrance, gratitude kind of thing. But Native Americans are at the forefront of that with the association of it. But with that being said, it's important to have what the Native American Heritage Day is. So, it's a day in honor of Native Americans. It was designated as the day after U.S. Thanksgiving. Now, with the legislative history a little bit, George W. Bush, which is the president, signed a law, legislation introduced by Congressman Joe Baca, to designate the Friday after Thanksgiving as the Native American Heritage Day. So the bill was supported by the National Indian Gaming Association, and 184 federal recognized tribes. It designated Friday 28, 2008, as the day to tribute Native Americans for their many contributions to the United States. The bill encourages Americans of all backgrounds to absorb the day after Thanksgiving as Native American Heritage Day. Appropriate ceremonies, activities, schools, or, you know, enhance student understanding of by providing classroom instructions. You know, the bill was passed for technical adjustments by unanimous consent September 22nd. Then on September 26th, House of Representatives voted on it. It passed. Boom. It became a holiday, a civic holiday for Native American For example, Maryland established a day in 2008 under the name American Indian Heritage Day. And then furthermore, the state of Washington approved this measure in 2013. The criticism, with in addition to calling Thanksgiving the National Day of Mourning, some Native Americans believe it's poor taste for Native American Heritage Day to be on Black Friday. which they believe is a day of excess and gluttony, greed, and aggressive capitalism, which itself falls after a day that omits the murder and mutilation of natives, mourning the millions of indigenous people who died as a result of aggressive settler communism, colonialism. And they're not wrong with Thanksgiving being a target of greedy capitalists. The day before Thanksgiving is the Black Friday equivalent in a grocery store to feed everyone on Thanksgiving. Everyone rushes the store, they get all those sweet potatoes, collard greens, turkey, ham, chicken, what, you know, cranberry sauce, all these traditional food, and pile into the plates of family dinner or lunches on Thanksgiving Day. And then you people eat, Black Friday comes up, they shop to their heart's content. All the major retailers, and it's not grocery, has sale items going for the Christmas season. They play music the day after on Black Friday. Everything's about the holiday game. If the next holiday's coming up, the stores get ready to sell items and merchandise related to the holiday. Whatever. Then you get into Cyber Monday, which is now the online scene, which the retail market now gets into having even more deals than people shopping in person on Black Friday. Travel's Tuesday, which people start booking travel in advance the next year. So it's Travel's Tuesday. And it just gets into this weird money grab situation, which, you know, maybe another day should have been established, but whatever. Maybe they thought that the mourning of the dead, the national day of mourning, would be better. I don't know. It's really hard to say of this. And the national day of mourning is held on the fourth Tuesday, Thursday in November, educate the public about Native Americans in the United States and other tribes. Thanksgiving story. The United States raised awareness to historical and ongoing struggles. First National Day of Mourning was held in 1970 after Frank Wasserwire James, speaking in Vision, was resided from a Massachusetts Thanksgiving celebration surrounding the 350th anniversary of the landing on the Mayflower. Yada, yada, yada. You can deliver a speech on Coles Hill in Plymouth, next to the statue of Arthur Quinn, which he described Native American perspectives on the Thanksgiving celebration. So, they already had this, but now they have a Heritage Day too. So, I don't know. It's weird with it being the way it is, and the Native Americans being tied to it. Regardless, we're going to get into the Shaman King, which follows Yakusora Yo, who wants to be the Shaman King. And while doing the Shaman King, he learns that there's a greater fight that meets the eye. So what is Shaman King? What's it about? Well, shamans are extraordinary individuals with the ability to communicate with ghosts, spirits, and gods. They're usually invisible to ordinary people. The Shaman Fight, where this is a tournament pitting shamans all over the world against one another. It's held every 500 years. The winner's crown, the Shaman King. The title allows the current incumbent to call upon the Great Spirit, shape the world as they see fit. And in this way, the Great Spirit is like the creation of all. So as a creator, great power comes great responsibility. And then we have what we get into, what the setting is. You know, you find yourself late for class one night. Monta, an ordinary middle school student, decides to take a shortcut to the local cemetery. Someone notices him, a lone boy sitting on a gravestone. He invites Manta to stargaze with him, realizing that them refers to the boy and his ghostly friends. Manta flees in terror. Later, the boy introduces himself as Yo Asakura, a shaman in training, and demonstrates his powers by teaming up with the ghost of 600-year-old samurai Imadamaru to save Manta from a group of thugs. Yo befriends Manta due to his ability to see spirits, and with the help of Imadamaru, they set out to accomplish Yo's goal, becoming the next Shaman King. So that's how they get introduced. We have the sidekick as Manta, the spirit ally, Imadamaru, and Yo himself. So, the Shaman King holds resemblance of every 500 years. There's a great fight, a great tournament, and it's to decide who will become the next bestower of the title and shape the world at their own discretion and desire. So, it basically, if you have any wish, you can be granted, and at the end of the journey, you are now the one controlling everything, and you become one with the Great Spirit, and you embody what the Great Spirit has done for the culture of Earth. Yada, yada, yada. So that is Shaman King in a nutshell. Now, I'm going to discuss the Patch Tribe. The Patch Tribe holds a very special role in Shaman King because they're in the officiants of the Shaman King tournament. So their role, not only do they establish tradition in many forms I'm going to talk about, but they are a literal representation of Native Americans, ones doing this as a protector of the tournament and all that stuff. It's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting too, because they're Native American shamans, so they have a heritage of Native American, but they're shaman. They serve the will of the Great Spirit. They're responsible for overseeing the shaman fights, the selection of new shaman kings. The tournament and the shaman fight are the way they select the new shaman king. So years after the shaman fight in AD 2000, the tribe was massacred by Kumugawa Yusuke, or YES, and the Rapture. The sole survivor is Illumi. The Patch Tribe resides within the Patch Village, which the Patch Village is based in Mesa Verde, which is interesting because Mesa Verde is a fictional American national park in Colorado and the location of the Hidden Patch Village. So I guess it's like, what? Mesa Verde is a tourist designation due to the abandoned ruins of the village built into the side of a mesa, hosted an advanced native civilization long before European colonists arrived, so the Patch Tribe can monitor people outside. But yeah. So, with Mesa Verde comes a really interesting semblance of culture. They are in a mesa, and an advanced civilization is built into the hillside itself. So these are like remembrances of like American Southwest, and they're in like a desert type setting. So this is where the Great Spirit resides. This is also where, you know, the home base is in North America, in Colorado. So it's kind of cool because it supports what's going on, but also the symbolism of maybe a once advanced society. So when you take it into account, this is a structure made of sand and clay and dried to the point where a settlement can be done and people, a civilization can survive. So this is their homeland, and this is where the Great Spirit comes in, and they use this as a setting to start the next events of the Shaman King tournament. So it's kind of cool how Master Verde plays into it, into like traditional cultures like the plateau, different desert type civilizations in America with the Native Americans. So with that being said, the Apache tribe has been the majority of the leaders. They do regular day activities for the general well-being of the tribe. Every 5 years, this is where their role becomes a little bit different, which is the shaman fight. They test various shamans, as well as the preparation and coordination of the event. Then you have the 10 officiants, who are members of the Apache tribe who serve as representatives of the tribe, monitor for the competing shamans. When they're not conducting their responsibilities conserving the fight, their day job is to sell patch memorabilia and food items to cover the expenses of the tribe. So this is an example of, you know, the patch tribe using tourism, specifically with memorabilia and food, to cover the expenses to afford, you know, just day-to-day activities. If you didn't hear before, the National Indian Gaming Association, or gaming, is an organization that's built on tourism, but a very specific way. They want casinos. So they want to lure these big, attractive casinos to fund different Indian tribes to be self-efficient. Because there's not many ways for them to be self-efficient after the government has given them land and such to live on and be, you know, practice culture. The reservations still need maintenance and they don't receive enough from the government and their rations or stipend, sometimes as we call it, to afford it. So they have to come be creative. One such area is the gaming casinos, and another is the tourism attraction to the history, to the settlement, maybe. So the Apache tribe, they're selling memorabilia and capitalizing on that type of, you know, money game culture to fund the organization. So it's kind of cool how that can play in a part, how actually modern Native Americans do that as well. Some officiants have individual roles within shaman fight, such as Rod Radium, who acts as the general host, who's the referee. The officiants are supposed to remain neutral and impartial. Some form biased opinions, like, for example, Magna, Nykrom, Namori support Asakura Hao, while Silver supports Asakura Yo. So there is that, you know, dividing of Hao versus Yao or Yo correlation. So you have different factions within the Shaman King supporting who they want to be Shaman King. Once the Shaman King has been determined, the officiants act as the protectors, guarding both the new king and the Great Spirit as they merge into one. In order to do so, the officiants take their place within the prospective plants on the underwater continent of Mu. So, Mu was the first shaman fight. The plants simulate various environments on Earth and form the path that the Shaman King must first take to reach the Great Spirit. Afterwards, as in the law of the tribe, the generation of officiants overseeing the shaman fight must convert to the religion of the current Shaman King. As such, the tribe in AD 1500 became the Knights Templar. It's kind of interesting because they became the Knights Templar in this fictional group of the Shaman King Flower series. 10 patrons from the Shaman's Fight, following Frey vs. Rise of the Shaman King, these 10 officiants converted into followers of the new god. For tradition, the 10 officiants convert the followers into the new Shaman King, became the Knights Templar, a group of armored holy warriors. Despite becoming their followers, none of them approved of his unhanded methods of winning the tournament, such as paying his subordinates and blackmailing his opponents. So that's how, for the Flower Maze, the Knights Templar were given physical form through dimensional shifting, which restoration is forbidden. Because of this, they simply return to the commune when they are killed. So it's kind of weird how they took on the Knights Templar, but that was the version of the previous Shaman King. And that's just an example that they have to take the vow, whoever is the Shaman King, but serve the Shaman King himself. But it's interesting with Mew, because the different plants stimulate the different environments. The Sucking Continent lies at 2,000 meters below sea level. Also the place where the final rounds of the Shaman fights are held, as well as where the spirit Shaman King unites with the Great Spirit. So, it was heard from a Tibetan high monk, the continent of Mew, which inspired the American writer to do this, was once populated by extremely advanced people, sunk overnight during an unknown divine rage. The land is sacred to the Patch tribe, as was the first place of the very first shaman fight. Very tradition that the finals are always held there. Now, it has massive decay, but the plants on the inside are completely intact and machinery works. At the depth of the continent lies the King's Sanctuary, where the Shaman King slumbers while uniting with the Great Spirit. You need to reach, you have to go to the path of the plants or get lost in the maze around it. The three of the Patch priests pass through the maze to the plants with ease. The different plants are the path to the King's Sanctuary and Kink and the Great Spirit and the Patch tribe to protect by starting guard of their own individual plants. So each plant has a residing member of the Patch tribe protecting that specific pathway to prevent intruders from going further. So the plants were created exponential faculties equipped with each and all the conditions to migrate out into space. They were created by human hands, perfect reproduction of nature, to in various environments so that any organism would be able to survive. Each plant contains two gates, which act as the entrance. And then also, if the Patch is guarding them, once the two or is defeated. So you have the desert plant, guarded by Nimoy. No water, so very difficult fight. The valley plant, deep rocky ravine, guarded by Blonde. So it's up in the air and cliffs. The idea is you drop into the valley below. The volcanic plant is magma, who's the god. Hard to fight, spews gas and lava, very hot. Lake plant, very deep lake. Small strips of land guarded by radium. Pretty simple, no why environmental hazard. Expansive grass thing guarded by Kalem. Fairly easy to fight. There's no really requirements. Just a small farm. The forest plant, large, dense tropical forest. Rivers and guarded by Rhythm. Cave plants, stalagmites, stalactites, and guarded by Necrom. Sandy beach covered with tropical palms. Large sea. You have a cafe. Glacier, which is entrance broken in summer chunks of ice, freezing temperatures. It falls in the water. Space plant. Vacuum, no gravity. They can suffocate, no oxygen, all that stuff. Projections on the ceiling to officiate the looking of the movement of the stars. Then you get into the King's Sanctuary. Big throne, mortal body of the Shaman King rest. The previous Shaman King was reduced to nothing but a skull. The chieftain of the Patch tribe, guards the rim themselves. If they fear the king, must fight into an intruder. Once seated in the throne, the Shaman King candidate enters a temporary coma in order to integrate with the Great Spirit. During this process, vines wrap around the shaman's body. This is what, you know, is the last fight, is the fact that the Shaman King in a coma, and they're trying to stop the process from happening. So, most of the plants offer a slight advantage to the patch guarding it, depending on the guardian host, the ghost, and the oversoul. So you get different abilities to be that can be done. Like, for example, the red rope travel underneath the sand in the desert plant. Winnow's clear coat could use the large, dense forest, but and its best use of his unique skies. So things like that can be used as an advantage. So when you get into this, you get into like the members of the officiant, which is Gova. She's the chieftain. She's Yuron, which is the last ghost of the guardian, the chief before her. Silva, descendant of Hal, oversees Sakura. Five guardians. So the Silver Horn, which is a buffalo spirit. A snake. A turtle spirit, which is a shield. Coyote spirit, which is a silver tail. And an eagle, which is a spirit. Eagle is very protective, very traditional. They show a lot of homage to an eagle with the magnificent beast with wings. The buffalo is an important trait in nomadic tribes in the Great Plains. It was a symbol of food, substance, and everything they need to survive. It was sacred to the different nomadic tribes or bands that relied on the Great Plains itself. Nothing went to waste, as they used every part of the buffalo. If they did not use everything, it would be a disrespect to what the sacrifice of the animal was for. Coyotes kind of significant in Native American culture as well. So he has like five different totems that he has as spirit allies. He can get into the bull. Radom is a Australian pelican. Nikom has a scorpion. Magma. He has a magnetic scope. Green horned owl. So it's kind of interesting seeing how it goes. You know, you have a spider. I mean, there's different. So it's kind of interesting seeing how they are, how they be. The Oracle Bell is what forms the power for the first shaman fight. It was just extracurricular, so that has some sci-fi into it, whatever. They're creative, powerful, and complex oversouls, which is vehicles and barriers. They can further increase their strength through the use of the Patch Song, which is a hypnotic technique that they use to emit their spiritual prowess and strength, as well as their mental states and personalities. For example, Magna, whose body was otherwise damaged beyond normal movement, could use his full body oversoul to move freely. Timber attempted to steer the green elemental spirits. He was captured, forced to listen to song till his doubt about the shaman fight disappears. It also forced him to fight Asakura Yo and his friends without any emotions. So that's also an example of how the Patch Song can be used to reintegrate current members of the Patch tribe. Silva was forced to forget his disapproval how the shaman fight was done and fight the one he wanted to support, because he didn't want to support who was the current candidate for the shaman king. So it's kind of interesting how the Patch Song kind of actually gives more Furuku, which is the interesting. Now, the full version of the Patch Song was not actually introduced. So the Furoku, which is also mana, is the measurement of the shaman's sixth sense, the ability to sense spirits, an essential energy for the most basic shamanic magic, as it can be used to materialize spirits. This type of energy boost through the Pat song was how they were able to fight on a greater scale and enhance their abilities while doing so. So, if you don't know, song in Native American culture is very symbolic of the fact that typically it's around a fire. They have a few performers, they do as a group, and they honor the traditions and ancestors and practice a song to represent the fact of the purpose of the song. So, for example, it could be a buffalo chant. It could be the honor of the people who passed away. It can be similar, just a general song that is to harmonize for entertainment purposes. So it really goes to show you, song is a great benefactor to live energy, culture, and symbolizing individual but also group mentality. In this way, it's kind of interesting how it's done. So with that being said, song is pretty powerful in Native American culture, but not just the only thing that exists, because we also get into the abilities. So they have spirits. Since a long time, animals that are related to the Patch tribe turn into nature spirits. When the young patches exceed a set age limit, a ritual is held for them in order for them to find the nature spirit that will protect them in the future. Under the guidance of the medicine man, they are carried in a process of deep meditation that sets them into a pseudo-death state. Then the nature spirits start gathering. As soon as the young patches receive one, they're brought back from the death's depths. In the end, each youth is bound together by a mutual agreement with the spirit that was brought back with them. It's not impossible for a patch to bond with more than one spirit during this process. So, for example, when Silver did this process, he didn't just bond with only one spirit. He did this process 5 times to get 5 spirits. And every time had to be a separate thing because they had to find that one spirit. And this is where we get into the 5 grand elemental spirits. The 5 grand elemental spirits are the ones that the Patch tribe actually protected. They were part of the Spirit King, the Great Spirit. So these 5 are derived from the Great Spirit itself, contains a collective souls, but controlled by the respective elemental warrior or a shaman of extraordinary power, like Akashor Hal. The power of the 5 grand elementals is unmatched by any other spirit, except for the Great Spirit himself. Have the ability to consume other souls and spirits in order to enhance their own power. This is often seen with the fire spirit consuming more souls, becoming more powerful, and as a result, becoming very difficult to battle and overall influence the Shaman King totem itself. Because the power it bestowed was very horrifying to see at hand. So, at one point, the Great Spirits were part of the Patch tribe. They protected them, and then it becomes a role later down the line to actually use the Great Spirits against the Shaman King before it became the Shaman King. So they actually have an important role. And, you know, this also comes back to how Native Americans view shamanism. They view shamanism as a collective of spirits, but also the mentality in traditional culture. So American shaman in American culture is kind of interesting, because they were Native American shamans were revered members of the communities who serve as healers, spiritual guides, and keepers of tradition. In general literature on Native American, every sort of priest, healer, ritual specialist, and sorcerer is somehow called a shaman. Traditionally used the term shaman, but rather refer to these gifted individuals as mystics, ritualists, healers, medicine people, sorcerers, lore keepers. This is kind of how the medicine men kind of get introduced, which help out the Patch tribe. They also use like the traditional culture of the coma, put them in that pseudo-death state to really find a deep connection in the meditation, find the spiritual discipline, find the spirit to them. So you see this a lot in the Patch tribe's traditional ceremonies. So they use this as a way to bring up the process easier. This is why when, you know, people at Mesa Verde might have been knocked out and they had to have healers check onto the individual shamans, if they did not possess spiritual mentitude to continue, they could actually potentially not wake up after entering Mesa Verde. So it was another test to test what the effect of the Great Spirit had on these people and see what their resolve and will would be. You know, traditional peoples believe that the shaman experiences, absorbs, communicate a special mode of power, sustaining and healing. So the American Indian shamanic traditions possess the woodland upper way, drawn from the classical shamanism of Siberian people. So it functions the healer, prophet, custodian of cultural tradition, which the past tribal very much so of that tradition and maintaining their duty to protect the shaman king and the Great Spirit process and the shaman fight. That's why they take it so seriously. That's why when Silva was not believing in the cause, they reintegrated him into the Patch song to keep his loyalty. They do that to protect the mission at hand and not have individuality affected. That's why Silver had induced that and rehypnotized back into line, because he went so out of it, they brought him back in. So it goes to show you that they're very serious in protecting this to the point of rehabilitation under the Patch song with Silver. And it's also interesting that the Patch tribe are named after elements of the periodic table of elements. In this, they are actually like gold, gold, silver is silver, kalium is potassium, which is in Japanese, chrome is chromium, nichrome is nichrome, and nickel and chromium alloy, magna is magnesium, rhenium is rhenium, bronze is bronze, radium is radium, radium is radium. Nemoi is lead in Japanese. Talium is talium. Taluan. Rutherford is rutherfordium. Zinc is zinc. Alumi is aluminum. Uran, uran is uranium. Hydro is hydrogen. So they're very... It's in this, nature is a very important aspect of Native Americans. Their resources come from nature. What they use is a subsistence way of living. They use what they can off the land, but don't be too greedy about it. They only use what they need, meaning they don't use something that doesn't have any other purpose other than for survival. So it's not going to help the tribe, specifically the nomadic tribes that are moving all the time. You can't really, you know, have a lot to carry with you if you're moving all the time. Now, like the woodlands was more stabilized and the culture is not dependent on buffalo, they typically would stay in one place, but they would build a village of wood, canoe, different, you know, painting ink, tattoos, the cloth, like, for example, hides. Hides of animals were very traditional in clothing, down to the shoes, down to the material. Stone would be used as like stone tools, with a hatchet, stuff like that. The wood would probably be the handle of that tool. So very much so of the national elements, I really do like the names of the Patch Tribe being Table of Elements. It just gives a more how the cultural tradition of Patch Tribe can symbolize to a general Native American culture. It's really interesting in this for the simple fact, nature is a very recurring theme in Native Americans because they use the resources around them to create a traditional way to live. Not everything they do is seen as destroying nature. They coexist with nature. And this is important because I bring back the fact that how land was established with the Yuri atrocities of the settlement. Europeans, when they came over to the west of the Americas, they did not share the same sense of belief of land when it came to Native Americans. They believed if you're not using it right now to prove that you own this land, then it's my land. But to the people, that land belongs to everybody and everything in it. Just because they're not using it doesn't mean it's individual ownership. You can coexist and everyone uses for a mutual benefit. That's why the main conflict of driving Native Americans out of the land was for greedy purposes of settlers getting their own plot of land. How they took the definition of land was how these conflicts came to be and how they kept continuing even into the Wild West, where they kept being driven further and further away to make settlements along the land near the eastern coast. So it goes to show you, when invaders from outside lands come in, does not mean it'll be a good thing to happen over time. They do the same thing in Shaman King. If you're not a shaman, all the people who are not shaman are excluded from the Shaman King totemate. And they actually have an entire arc where they're actually having humans coming on to war the shamans to get a mutual benefit of what shamans can be. And it's actually a plot device later in the show and the manga, where they come in and use shamans to help fight to, you know, emulate other aspects. But it's apparent for outsiders not to be involved because it's only shamans. So this type of approach also plays into Native Americans with settlers being the outsiders. So there is a symbolism there, a slight one, but definitely apparent for shaman and non-shaman, for Indian and non-Indian. So there is that type of mix with the general population and the Native American groups and the bands, as I call it. So what does this all mean? Well, basically this all means that I am a personal fan of the Patch Tribe and how much symbolism that they have, the role that they play, the upcoming of tradition, the name meaning the respective element of the periodic table, the respect for nature, and the actual customs that they are to their mission first before individuality as a group. Native Americans, a lot of times, were band together for their survival, for their mutual survival. So it's really hard for outsiders to come into that culture because they're very exclusive. They're not very easy to let other people in. So that's why some of the other approaches didn't work, because they don't know you. And even if you establish trading, they're still going to probably have conflict with you because you're taking over the land. So the lack of respect when it comes to land ownership, the treatment of them, and overall gratuities given to the people of they want to reside their own way of living, is why we see a lot of Native American settlements being either converted forcibly, massacred, have revolts and you know, rebellion, and also numbers dwindling down because of conflict. Now, the main conflict of why they die was disease. But that's besides the point. When the mass communication to communicate with other people was very hard because the language barrier was also present. So further, What I'm saying is this. Yes, we have Native American Heritage Day the day after Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving being very symbolic with Native American culture, and the day of the mourning, and it being Black Friday, but it's also important to know what it means, what they did as a Native American way before us, and that understanding that history is how we are should be able to approach that in a way to be successful upon not knowing their culture, but also knowing the heritage that comes with it. That's why I chose to do this episode for the Shaman King and the Apache tribe's role, because I felt it was very positive representation of American Native American in an anime media study. You know, there's a lot of small attention to detail, to animal spirits, to shamanism, to how they conducted themselves, the way of tradition, you know, the exclusivity of strangers and how it took, it's very hard for strangers to come in, with the non-shamans to shamans, and overall the perspective that not everything is going to be the way it is in the scheme of things. So this concludes this episode of MCMA Podcast with Shaman King and the Apache tribe's role. Thank you, and have a nice day.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.